You are tuning into The Library with Tim Einico.
Mike Zombie, Arab Music, The King of Chill, and DJ Premier are four producers that are responsible for the sound of my next guest's debut album, Flow Riot, which was released September 29th, 2017. She's from New York. She sings, she writes, she can play instruments. She's Tori Wolf, and I want to welcome her to The Library with Tim Einico. Welcome, Tori.
Thank you. Thank you. Happy to be here.
I've seen the last come first. I've seen the first last.
So, you know, so this first, really, we know you as Tori Wolf, Tori with two eyes. But that wasn't always your performance name. You were Tori Rog, Tori with one eye. So who was the artist Tori Rog compared to the artist Tori Wolf? And then how did that change occur?
Tori Rog kind of caught on from a radio DJ in San Diego when I lived there. She took it upon herself to start calling me that. And I didn't really mind as much because I was kind of just playing music for fun and going to coffee shops with my guitar. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of like, I just went with it. And that was a lot more of like a folky, you know, solo artist situation. Okay. Where I like then formed another band called Wolf Prize, which was with two other girls, and it was a lot more of like low-end, minimal, emotional, kind of primal, more in the direction of where I've been now. And when I started to do my solo stuff, you know, like collaborating with DJ Premier, Mike Zombie, King of Chill, Arab Music, like moving on and expanding from Wolf Prize, I thought it would be neat to like, you know, keep the wolf with me. Mm. You know? So I went with Tori Wolf. I have two eyes because there's that structure in Japan called the Tori, and when you walk through, you're said to be pure. And I always love that. And I also like how two lowercase eyes side by side look like androgynous people. And I like how it would represent all of us equally being one. So why are you running away?
When I interviewed King of Chill, he said the first thing that he was impressed with was that you wrote your own music. I think he was kind of like in awe of that. When you were with the group, but also, have you always written your own music? I mean, did writing kind of come naturally to you, or did you have to work on it? And do you kind of remember the first set of lyrics that you wrote that you were just kind of blown away that you wrote them?
Yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Like, it just happened naturally, you know? Like, I started music with percussion and drums when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And moved into playing for, you know, bands. And this one girl that I was playing drums for, I just had shown her some of the things I was writing, and I asked her if she wanted to sing it, and I sang it for her, sang her the song that I had written, just to show her, you know, the way mm-hmm. that I imagined it being sung. And she was like, oh, well, why don't you just start singing? And the whole band kind of reformed, and like, she pushed me to the front. So I just started doing it more and more, you know?
Mm-hmm. Did you have to work on kind of finding, you know, your own, as you were learning, as you were singing, did your style stay the same, or did you kind of work on having to find your own voice and own style?
Oh yeah, totally. I mean, it's still ever evolving, you know, even listening to music that I had written years ago, it's like, I mean, I could tell that it's me in there somewhere.
Right.
And the one thing that's always coming through, I would say, is definitely the emotion. The lyrical content changes, but a lot of times I use different, I'll jump into different like scenarios, other people's life stories to kind of write as a jumping point from there, you know, but it's changed so much over the years. Like I went to a convention one time and this music supervisor, he had told me, you know, because syncing is definitely something that I've always been into. Like I love the idea of music being a part of a film. And this guy said to me, he's like, you know, too many words. It's like too wordy. It's just too much, you know? And I just, for some reason, I never even thought about that. I thought like lyrics, you just have words, you know?
Right,
but then
right.
From there, I realized like, I'm going to tone it down a little bit. It's not even about what I'm saying necessarily. And the less I feel like I say sometimes, the more open the floor is for everyone to feel something. It's just a matter of like using these words as these vehicles to get the emotion through. You know, it doesn't always have to be like a ton of words. Yeah. You know?
Why do you write? I mean, is it kind of as a, you know, does it start out as like a kind of partly as like a, maybe a quote unquote stress reliever or, I mean, why do you write to create music versus, I guess, having someone else write the lyrics for you?
I don't know. That's a funny question. I have no idea. It's just something that I do. Like, it just is like, it's just happening. Like, it's not even something I'm choosing. You know, it's like I love like words and emotions and like playing with them melodically. And it just will come through my body. And I just want to, I have to get it out of my body. Same way I have to like go to the bathroom or sweat or something. It's like,
right.
It has to get out. And in that's the form that it takes, you know?
Right. You know, you talked about your early career and kind of your early path. When you first started in music, kind of how did you see your, or how did you envision your career path going? How is it different now than what you envisioned? But also, did you ever imagine, like, I'm going to work with a DJ Premier or somebody like DJ Premier to make music?
No, I never thought about that ever. I mean, mostly, like I'm saying, how it was like so natural where I would just make music on my own. And I thought kind of like, oh yeah, I have this idea for a song. And yeah, like I would like to have these sounds like a guitarist, or very simplistically, like my mind was working. I would be like, yeah, you know, I'll get this person to play it. And then we'll go into a studio and maybe like record it. Like not ever really acknowledging a producer's role, really thinking them as like being behind the board as like an engineer, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But, and especially hip hop, like, I mean, I wasn't really into hip hop necessarily. I listened to oldies, like mostly, you know, growing up, right. If anything, like I have a weird relationship with music. I feel like it's not easy for me the way that like people can just listen to music. Like it's not like I'm just sitting there listening to it as a listener. I'm always like, I feel involved in it and it's almost exhausting, you know, in a good way, you
right.
know? So it was more of like, I wanted to hear everything all the time, but not as much of like a hip hop head or like a specific genre type of person. So, I mean, it's been so cool because I've learned so much, you mm-hmm. know, just in this small amount of time working with DJ Premier, like I've learned so much.
What'd you know about DJ Premier prior to meeting him or him approaching you? But then also, what was that? What did you think when he first approached you about creating music? I mean, what was kind of your initial thoughts? I mean, like, did you think it was going to work, or did you just say, hey, let's go with it, let's try it?
Well, I love, you know, a challenge in that sense, like being, you know, like showing up and seeing how something feels, seeing, like being open to whatever comes of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely didn't have any expectations because I don't even know what we were going in with. Like, I have heard things that he's created, but he's also been all across the board, you know? And it wasn't until I started to work with him more that I would be able to point out his production, you know, like in a restaurant or like at a bar or something. Like, even if it was completely different from one to the next, you could tell it was Supreme, you know? But yeah, I didn't know what would come of it. I don't think he did either. You know, we just like sat there and it was like he was excited, I think, to try and go in a different direction than he normally does. And so was I. So we were both kind of like little babies, you know?
So did you have to, or because of the direction you're going, did you have to change your writing style, your writing approach with working to premiere, or would you have done that anyway, where you're changing direction, so it would be just natural to change your
artist
way?
Well, it definitely was different because I'm used to writing songs, you know, like I would use a guitar to find, like, I would have a melody or an idea of some sort, and I would use the guitar to find it, the chords and the progression. But that's one of the things I was mainly excited about, because I've always wanted to try creating where someone else comes with the music and it's just like my playground, you know, to see like what it inspires in me to come up with and create from there, instead of me starting with a melody and then like building the sound around it, you know? So that was the approach we took. He would sit there, you know, like come with a beat, like create a record sonically, a loop, and I would write to it.
Is there, before I want to ask you, of course I want to talk a bit more about your, the debut album, and working with Premier, but through working with him, do you now have like a favorite Premier track that you kind of, you like, you, you've listened to, or you've kind of grown on you since working with Premier?
It's really hard to say. Like, I don't know. I mean, I do really love a lot of the sounds that he's created. Anything that's like really dirty to me are my favorites. Like, even like Come Clean, you know, there's like something about like the records that are extra dirty from him that are just like my favorite, you know, super simple and dirty, which is most of them. But I don't know, like with our music, it was like one song, like one, probably Shadows Crawl is like closest to like his signature sound that I love. In like coming from his hip hop side of things, like, and I would like to go more in that direction, you know, like to the dirty beats.
I'm talking in my sleep, where my shadows crawl out of me with a blind eye in my mouth wide. I'm talking.
Before we go on about the actual music, one thing it's obviously one thing I like is that you have tattoos, and I think that's great because obviously tattooing and is obviously another form of art. So I was always curious, how do those two art forms, the tattoos and your music, do they kind of play off of each other for you? Kind of does a tattoo inspire a piece of music, or does a piece of music inspire you to get a tattoo or a certain tattoo?
Not in that way, but they are similar for me in my form of expression, in the way that it's like, I'll feel like I feel like the amount of pain that I'll endure for something beautiful, you know, that will last forever. I'm pretty sure it's the same thing. You know, and you feel like empowered and strong and closer to yourself, you know, in creating music. I feel that way, and in the same way of just like wanting a piece of art and sitting through this pain, you know.
like a sound you hear that lingers in your ear, but you can't forget from sundown to sunset.
So I wanted to turn to your album, Flow Ride. The first track off the album is called Everlasting Peace.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of track placement, why did you want this track to start off the album? Kind of what mood did you want it to set for the rest of the album?
Well, Prem is all about the placement, you know.
Okay.
He's like very specific about it. And he thinks about it as like a side A, side B type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But Everlasting Peace is the first song that we've ever created together. And I think that was a big reason why he put that as number one. You know. And the Marlena Shaw sample where it's like California, you know, kind of going into it. It just all made sense, you know.
Your vocals on Big Trouble are backed up by kind of a digital symphony, which I'm a huge fan of because I really like violins in music. And especially when they're used in that kind of non, you know, traditional classical music sense. For you, yeah. what was the mission of this track, and kind of what was also the collaboration process? I think you mentioned it before, but did you hear the music prior to writing it, or did you write the track and then hear the music?
No, that track was, Cream made that track. We did that all together. That was one of the quickest ones. Quickest ones always come out the best, I feel like. Somehow. It was like, there's not too much, not overdone in any way. Like, while he was building the beat, I was sitting there writing. It just came to me immediately. And like, usually he'll write it and then I'll have the beat and then I'll like come back with the song by the morning.
Mm-hmm.
But in this one specifically, it was like right away. He was like, all right, I'll bounce it to you. And you could listen to it, you know, we'll come back in the morning. And I was like, just throw me in. it was really fun. And there was a lot of emotion in that song, you know, in that moment. Yeah, and the strings I love the most, you know.
Right, yeah.
Like, I agree with you completely, and that just how suspenseful and haunting, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hunting for your noble blood. Baby, you're in trouble. You're in big, big trouble. And I will eat you up. And there's something about, so for me, Big, Big Trouble was this like really intense kind of, you know, your vocals, the music, it's kind of this really intense track that also kind of pumps you up, you know, in a way, as a listener.
Mm-hmm.
But then you get to the next track, Body, which I feel like totally, not in a bad way, but totally slows it down.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know you mentioned that Prem does the track placement, but for you, why put those tracks back to back? But also, when you heard that, how did you feel when you heard, like, you know, those two tracks back to back?
Well, Body's another one of my favorite ones on the album, so I kind of like how it was there together.
Mm-hmm.
But I do understand what you mean. It's like, Body is definitely, I mean, the content of the song is cool because it's like, I like how going from Big, Big Trouble, it's very lustful and talking. It's a very sexual song for me. Mm-hmm. And then I think going right into Body, it's also sexual, but it's more sensual. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of nice. It's like a resolve to the one before it, you know, where you feel that animalistic energy and then maybe it could like turn into a more sensual thing once everything calms down a little bit.
Were these tracks when you wrote the tracks, were they kind of written back to back as well, or were
no well, because Body was with A-Rab,
right?
I wrote that one in LA, and then Big Trouble came later.
Mm. On the track I Wait Forever in a Day, mm-hmm. it's kind of your track professing your love to for somebody. How much of this track is autobiographical? And then also, at the same token, how much is this album about you? Or do you feel like you're also speaking for others?
Yeah, in most of these songs, I'm coming from another perspective. It's easy for me to jump into, put emotion into somebody else's, I don't know what it is, how this happens, but it's pretty much the same always. Like, mm-hmm. I'd Wait Forever in a Day for You, for example, to me is from the perspective of a person who is somebody's secret. It's not autobiographical, but it's like someone singing or someone explaining how, like, they'll always be there, but they don't, and their frustration at the same time of, like, being the other person, you know, being the affair. And, you know, a lot of these songs, Big, Big Trouble, it's all come from me getting to know someone else's place in wherever they're at in their life, and then I put it into song form and, like, I guess put my own understanding and emotion into it. But it's kind of like an empathetic style of writing.
It breaks my heart.
Are you kind of gotten to the point where you just are always constantly thinking of lyrics or song ideas as you, no matter what you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I've always been like that. Like, especially with, like, wordplay and stuff. Doesn't even always have to be a song. Just, like, always thinking about, you know, like, I'm definitely always the one with, like, the corny word jokes. I can't help it.
So does that mean, I mean, are you like a person that, like, walks around with a notebook, or is it just more like, you know, something on your phone that you take a minute to write?
Yeah, especially my phone. Honestly, like, I'm really grateful for this telephone that we have these days, because before the iPhone, I used to carry around a voice recorder, because it's more about, like, ideas off the top. Like, once I start to write it, that's like that's really good too. But right. I'd like to at least get my ideas out with my voice first and then move into, like, the writing part. But, this one time, though, I had a voice recorder where, like, everything ever was on it. I was so into it. And then I started to, like, sing songs onto it and then put them on a computer and then, like, harmonize with myself. Like, I started getting all crazy with these, like, voice recorder. And then I started to make it into this, like, live diary situation. And then my house got robbed and the recorder got stolen. And I was, like, so mortified.
Oh my God.
So I've been that was, like, years ago, you know?
Right.
But I'm, like, always hesitant to, like, actually record things, super personal things, even though I want to, but it's like, as soon as it's on there, that's it. You know?
Right. It's permanent. It's
floating
yeah.
in the air, in the airwaves somewhere.
Right. I want to talk about another the track of Free is the only track on the album that has a feature. The feature is Malcolm Moore. How did that kind of collaboration come together? And I guess why, or was it purposeful that you wanted only kind of one feature on the album? Or did you want more? Did you want none?
I mean, I'm now moving into this direction. Like, I've been working on new stuff with Mike Zombie where I feel like, I think it's just so cool. Like, I'm really excited to do more collaborations where it's more collaborative, I guess, equally, where there's a feature and then I'm singing and Mike's got his, like, crazy sounds going. And, it almost feels like this, like, style that I want to move into, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, more features to me feels exciting, but that specific song Free, we were on tour. Uh-oh.
Herbie.
We're on tour in little baby head. He's just staring at me this whole time, like, pay attention to me. So, yeah. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. We met in Japan on tour. Macklemore was also touring around Japan at the same time. So it's like this kind of thing where like people just go to each other's shows and like hang out on stage.
Right.
Which I don't know if it's like more of like a hip hop vibe or what, but it felt like that. Like ASAP Ferg was there, Macklemore's there, like, and we played in Shibuya and everyone was kind of just standing on stage. And then so we went and did that at Macklemore's shows too. And started to talk and hang, like he saw me perform and was into it, and we were just talking about like, oh yeah, you know, like maybe we could do a song with him, you know. And Preem ended up sending him a few songs, and then he chose to do Free, and he was in, he just recorded it at his place in Seattle and sent it back to us, and I love it so much. Like I love the way what he's speaking about in the verse. So good.
We all become an archive. Oh yeah, we all die. But how do we spend our time? Like a with the false pride. Fuck greatest of all time. Ego got the people divided, minded and hog tied. I'ma wake up in the morning praying, doing yoga in that order. Keep my spirit open so I can handle the fault lines. Cause the earth be shaking, y'all. Free, I ain't listen what they hating on. You gotta step into the ring with Satan, dog. My sparring partner is the devil that I train with God. Dodging haymakers and I can't play the wall. Bare knuckles in these gloves gotta take.
So when you said Preem sent him a few songs, these were songs that were kind of essentially done in the way where your lyrics were on them as well?
Yeah, Free was done. Yeah, it was a few songs that were already on that, that we were like, oh, I could totally see a feature. Okay. Man, these dogs are wildin'. Yeah, it was one that I definitely could see a feature happening on, so okay. We sent a few over like that, and then he chose that one.
So do you have to, when you're writing and you have a sense that, you know, Mac, someone like anyone, I mean, these songs, the idea of the songs, so that they'll have a feature on them, are you still writing yourself, like for yourself, are you still writing a complete song, or are you just kind of writing, only know that you're writing like two verses, so to say, because a third verse
would be... Yeah, I start with a complete song. And then it's like, you know, from there, if we could always scale back, you know what I mean? And then have like different versions and stuff.
Right.
But yeah, like I was saying, some of these new records that I've been working on, I have more of like the feature style in mind. So I am kind of leaving more space, but we're also like making them longer instead, you know?
One, two, three, four.
I want to turn to the last track, which is kind of my favorite track on the album, Moscow. It's just you and the guitar, right? It's the only track that's also produced by you on the album. So, as a listener, I hear this song and I'm like, this seems like kind of the most personal and maybe even most significant track on the album for you. Is that the case in this for this track? Or if not, like, what's the importance of this track for you overall?
Well, that one's tough because, like, I mean, I wrote that song, I guess, when did I write it, I wonder? Oh, that was, like, one of the only positive, like, happy songs I'd ever written before. It was, like, came from a beautiful place where, like, my parents are still together and they're cute and in love, and they had explained to me during one of my first like hard times in love, they were explaining to me how I don't have to worry because I come from good love, so I'll always be like, you know, I'll always be made of good love, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
So that was, like, really inspiring. And I went with that on the song, kind of just, like, it was the same thing, though, like, where I would go from other people's perspectives of how, like, maybe more like how I would be, like, heroic in their lives if they felt like they couldn't feel good. Like, I'll carry it, and I'll be the good love in the situation, you know?
Right.
I played that for them, and as a few, so, like, in the studio one time, like, right in the beginning, and we filmed it and recorded it, and we were like, yeah, maybe we could, because it was still kind of up in the air, like, how we would make this album, you know? And it was the kind of thing where I was like, yeah, I'll bring in some of my songs that I've written recently, and we could work with those, too. Maybe we could build them out and produce them, you know? But then it was like, nah, like, this is cool how it is. We could just make new things together too, you know?
Me, 'cause I wanna go wherever you go. Yeah, I wanna go wherever you go.
So what for this track, I mean, how, and you kind of answered it, but how was kind of that the recording session similar but also different for the track Moscow?
How was it different?
Yeah,
like the writing style?
Well, just even the recording process. So I have this weird vision that for me, I have this vision that you, and I probably am totally wrong, that you just kind of like kicked everyone out of the studio and just, you know, wanted to be by yourself and like, listen, you know, play this song and record this track.
Yeah, no, totally. Well, that's the thing, is like, it's kind of like that in a way, but it's more from the beginning side of it where I came in like that and then blossomed. But it's similar because it's like how you think about it every single way. You always come in how you go out, you know, like in the same way of like death and being born, you know, like no hair, no teeth. It's like I came into that studio not knowing anything but like my own self as much as I could have up until that point with my music. So I came in there with my songs that I'd already written on the guitar. And I was, and then, you know, I think that that's the irony of it being the very last track on the album. It's like, you know, I came in there like that, and then that's like who I am in my raw form, mm-hmm. but this is what we did together, you know?
Right. Tori, I have one more question. I guess there's two questions, but what is your absolute favorite thing about singing? And then what is your absolute favorite thing about playing the guitar?
Honestly, I don't have like the best relationship with the guitar. Like, I feel really grateful that I play it,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't necessarily, it's not like the greatest feeling of all times for me. It's like a facilitator,
mm-hmm.
of me getting my ideas and emotions out. Whereas like with singing, I feel the closest to home or whatever that means ever, you know, like I go into a completely different space, different, like plane of existence. And in that space, you know, time doesn't exist. Nothing exists. It's like I have this ability to escape, or not even escape, because escaping sounds like you're like running away from something, but it's like to like travel out of this world, you know, for a moment.
Right.
Which is really, can be really euphoric and also like exhausting and like really tired, like sad, like so many, it's so emotional in so many ways, but like ultimately it's like everything.
Right.
The guitar sometimes, for some reason, even the sound of it like makes me feel annoyed a little bit. It's weird. It's like my younger sibling or something, even though I actually love my younger sibling the most.
Right.
So it's a hard comparison, but you know what I mean? Like how people are like, yeah, like an annoying little whatever. There's like some sort of energy between the guitar and me. The drums feel really good. Like when I'm performing and singing and playing the drums at the same time, oh man, it's like so primal. It makes me feel like a caveman or something, you know? It's mm-hmm. like the best. And it my voice and everything, like my singing is different. I guess with the guitar too. When I'm singing on the guitar, I'm a lot more docile.
Mm-hmm.
And sullen. But when I'm playing the drum and singing, it's a lot more guttural and like more about like where I want to be, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're all really important and special. It's just different relationships, you know?
Right. Her new album is Flowride, produced by Mike Zombie, Arab Music, The King of Chill, and DJ Premier. She's Tori Wolf. Get the album. And Tori, thank you so much for joining me on The Library today with Tim Einenkel.
Thank you.
You come from good love. You come from my love. You'll be fine. Take me, 'cause I wanna go wherever you go. Yeah, I wanna go wherever you go. About a thing, 'cause now our hearts are made of tin cans bound by string, and I will lay you down in the tall grass, lay you down in the tall grass and hold your hand. Darling, take my good love and you'll be fine.